Having an online business is not an if you build it, they will come kind of situation. To get paying clients, they first need to know you exist, of course, and second of all, they need to know, like, and trust you enough to take the next step and decide to work with you. This only happens by intentionally setting yourself and your business up for it to happen. There are specific tools and strategies you need to consider in your business for effortless client attraction. And today I'm going to share what those are, the pros and cons of each, and how to make them work for you. So stay tuned. Hey there, I'm Shawn Miner, and this is Unstuck Entrepreneur. I'm a former nutritionist who turned a struggling, stressful nutrition practice into a thriving, freedom-filled online business where I work from home in my sweatpants while reaching and helping thousands of people all at the same time. Now I'm obsessed with showing other heart-centered coaches, practitioners, and solopreneurs how to build a business and life they love. Consider this podcast your safe space to learn both the inner work and practical strategies required to build the impactful, profitable business of your dreams. No hustle, grind, or long hours required. That's right, hustle culture, not welcome here. Let's get into today's session. Hey, hey there, friends. Welcome back to the Unstuck Entrepreneur podcast. So happy to have you joining this episode and checking out the show. Today, we're going to do things a little bit different. I have pulled a masterclass, a recorded masterclass that I did for the Holistic Business Starter course, all around attracting your dream clients and the tools that you need to attract those clients, the content you need to create, where you need to be creating it, all that good stuff, the things we need to talk about here if you want an online business and you want to attract clients, which I think we all do. That's kind of the point. So we're going to dive into those tools, specifically talking about blogging and podcasting, YouTubing, having live workshops, live masterclasses, and what you can do and how you can use those to attract new people to your work and continue to grow your audience so that then your business grows as well. Now, you will notice, because this is a snippet of a course that I have, that I reference other areas of the course, things you will be learning, things you've already done and learned, but that doesn't take away from what we're talking about in this masterclass. So it's something I still really wanted to share with you. And obviously, if you hear those things and you're like, yeah, I want to learn that, or I wish I knew that, then I do have the program available for you and you can head to my website and check it out. But still really great information, and I still think you're going to take a lot from this. It's a conversation that I love to have and have never really done it in this way on the show. So I thought, why not share it with everyone? So it's a long one. Let's not take any more time here. Let's get right into it. Okay, we are here for the Attract Masterclass. I hope you spent a little bit of time getting really clear on who your dream client is. So who you help and how you specifically help them. If you are still wishy-washy on that, that's okay. Let's keep going. And I think as we keep going, you will also start sparking some more ideas within yourself. So we'll get going. We'll go into the Attract module. Here we are back at the Flow and Grow framework. And this is the second step once we define your dream client, is now to attract your dream client. So now that we know who we help, now we got to let them know and we got to get them into our world so that we can provide a ton of great value and they will be excited to work with us. Of course, you probably know this by now, but let me remind you that anytime we are doing any sort of practical business practice or strategy in our business and with our business, we got to start from within. So we've got to start here and talk about how you actually build an audience. It comes from in here. You lead with your intentions. So we spent a lot of time thinking about our intentions and really figuring out how we want to show up in our business and what's important to you and what will be important to your audience, to your dream client. And if you continue to keep those front and center, which you should, then you will have no problem getting the right person to agree with that, to come into your world because they see that and because they notice your intention and they're drawn into your intentions and the energy that you put out because you are leading with those intentions. So please don't lose sight of what you are actually doing and why you are actually doing it and what's important to you in this process of trying to get people to be part of your community. The next thing is to acknowledge those thoughts that try to hold you back. And again, that's why we started where we started in Unstuck Entrepreneur in this program, is because now you have those tools to forever, because it's going to happen forever, be able to build awareness and see those thoughts in action, that ego voice that's trying to have this fear-based chatter, keeping you safe, keeping you in your comfort zone. Building a business is not comfortable all the time. It's not going to be. It's going to take you getting out of that comfort zone. So we have to always be willing and ready to acknowledge the thoughts that are trying to hold you back, trying to keep you playing small and in your comfort zone. Choose to be the person you've decided you'll be. Be the qualities that you've decided you'll be. You all have the power to do so. There is nothing that needs to happen before you exude who you really want to be. You can do it now. So one moment at a time, as you are building and growing your business, choose to be that person in each moment. It will be a conscious choice for a while, because like I said, building a business can be uncomfortable. It can feel scary. It can feel hard. It can feel overwhelming. But when you come back to being the person that you want to be, living with your intentions in mind and moving from that place, it is a whole lot more simple. But yeah, we got to be conscious of that choice for a while. And then thinking about you know, you've chosen to be the person that you've wanted to be. Now showing up that way, showing up, showing up, showing up, showing up. How many times can I possibly say it? You can't have a business if you don't show up for it. It's going to be messy. It's going to be imperfect. It's going to be embarrassing. I still have things that I like, just, oh, I'm just cringe thinking about the things that I put out even like a year ago, even 3 years ago, let alone 8.5 years ago when I started my business. It's going to be messy, but you've got to keep showing up, not only for yourself and for your dreams, but for the people that want and need your help. Just show up. Second to last, choose your tool. That's what we're going to figure out today. What tool do you want to use to connect with those people? You've got to have a tool. You've got to have a way, a connection point, a receiving point for people to come into your world. It's not just going to magically show up. So what is that tool you're going to use? And then once you've figured out that tool and you're now centered and aligned with your purpose and intentions, you're going to be the qualities that you've decided you'll be, show up that way, spread the word, let them know that you have a tool, let them know that you're out there and you're spreading your message. Effortless client attraction is an energy thing. You are the attraction point for your business, not your Instagram posts, not your podcast episodes, not your perfect website. You. There is not, no matter how many people want to tell you that there is not a special formula for getting followers, for getting listeners, for building an audience other than your energy, because it's completely 100% unique to you. And this is where we can use everything that we've just done, all the work we've just done on ourselves, and put it into action and do those things that we committed to do and be the person that you committed to be and show up in the way that you committed to show up. And when you do that, you will attract the right people into your work. And we can see this. If you really look, you could go on to Instagram right now and see this, where there are people who have like almost no following. Maybe they don't even have an Instagram account or a social media account, and their business is absolutely crushing it. And there are people who have millions of followers and they're struggling. what is the case there? What's going on there? If it is a matter of getting more people in the door and getting more followers and getting more subscribers and all these things, why is that happening? Because it's an energy thing. People are picking up what you are putting down energetically. So please consider that as we move forward. And you can consider that by thinking about what your thoughts are, getting clear on what those thoughts are that are in your head as you do go to build a tool for your business, which we're going to talk about in a second, where you go to share on social media, email your email list, whatever you go to do, however you go to show up for them, what is going on in your head? So what are you putting out in the world, knowing that's what you'll get back? We can feel it. We, as an audience, can feel what you are putting out. I'm afraid I'll be judged if I start talking about my business all the time. I'm not interesting enough to get followers, listeners, subscribers. I'm not cool enough to have a podcast, YouTube channel, or a blog. I'm not ready to start putting out content. What if I don't get any likes? What if no one reads my blog, listens to my podcast, watches my videos? I'm not good on video. Did I sound dumb in that episode? I don't have time to put out free content. I need to get paid. Just a sprinkling of all the possible things that could be going on right now, keeping you stuck, keeping you from showing up authentically, keeping you from putting stuff out there, keeping you from building a solid tool for your business, and keeping people from wanting to come into your world to learn from you, to grow with you, and to pay you to help them. And just as I was listing, you can see, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see that the energy that comes with those thoughts, which you may not even be aware that you're thinking until now, because now we're going to build that awareness, it's a very low vibe, right? It's like definitely not something that's very attractive to your audience. There's a fear of judgment there. There's a fear of failure, not feeling ready, not feeling worthy, this lack of confidence. And your audience is going to pick up on that. Not very appealing. So your audience is not going to grow no matter what you do, no matter how many different places you are, no matter how many times you post on social media, your audience is not going to grow if this is what's going on behind the scenes in here. So please consider that. If you let go of that ego, push it to the side, it's still going to be there, push it to the side, choose a different thought, which we now know how to do, and lead with your heart, lead with your passion, lead with your purpose, have authenticity, feel that sense of confidence, let your personality shine through, and be inspiring, then we are attractive. Can you see the difference there? So please know, if you're ever struggling to grow your audience and you feel like you're doing everything right, come back to what's really going on in here and lead with a different level of energy. And it starts with what's going on in your head and what's going on in your heart. A really good exercise to do here. And so if you want, I would pause this video and spend a little bit of time here. Write down, I would say, 5 to 10 qualities that you admire in others, because you have that inside of you too. You can and will be that for someone else. And how cool is it to think that you could be someone that someone else would admire, that your clients, your followers, your listeners would admire, would find inspiring, would find encouraging or motivating or helpful? Like, how cool is that? You are that person for someone else as soon as you show up in that way. And you have it inside of you already. So we don't need to wait for anything to happen before you become this motivating, confident person. So who do you admire? Who do you follow that you just like, every time something comes up, you're like, ah, like, that was so cool. I love what she or he has to share. And why do you love following them? What is it about them? So for a lot of people, it's confidence, it's authenticity, it's being real, it's being vulnerable. It's just like sharing their lives confidently, but showing up and having so much to offer and feeling really personable. That's the case for a lot of people. When I ask my clients and other people in the group this question, that's what comes up. And so see what comes up for you. I want you to really think about this. Go into your social media and scroll and find those people that really resonate with you and see if that helps you get those qualities. But come up with a list and then see what you can do to show up in that way too, because you are that person too. Okay. Questions to ask yourself. Again, you can pause this video if you want to do that, or you can wait until the end and ponder these. But how can I show up as a leader in my space? How can I connect authentically with my audience and best support them? How can I use my content to showcase my passion and purpose? How would I show up if I already had 100,000 or insert any number here, 1,000, 10,000, a million, it doesn't matter, but something that feels like a reach for you? How would you show up if you already had that, already had those people listening to your podcast, reading your blog, subscribing to your YouTube channel, following you on social media? Answer these questions. Do not bypass this exercise. It's important. It is what it will separate you from the people that are doing all the right things and not seeing growth. And they feel like Instagram is impossible and the algorithm is against me and all these weird things that we have, and the people that grow effortlessly. Take the time to do this. All right, let's get into talking about your tool, because part of that was choosing your tool. The primary ways to attract your audience using a tool will be, these are the things we're going to go over today, your voice, you in video, or your written word. So this is where we start talking about all of the amazing, exceptional, highly valuable free content that you are going to deliver to your audience that will make purchasing your paid content the only next logical step. It will get your people to the place where they say, this is who I want to work with. I know they can help me. I know I need this. I know I want this. I know this is right for me. And we have to do that by delivering consistent free content, really good, highly valuable information, content, tools, tips, advice, education, all that good stuff. So when you're when we're going through this process of talking about all the possible tools, I want you to consider these things. What feels good to you? Of course, we've always got to start here because we want this to be something that you do consistently for the long haul. That's what it's going to take. So what will intrigue you and inspire you and encourage you for the long haul? What mode of connection feels comfortable and exciting? So if you're terrified doing video, maybe that's not the right thing to do for the long haul. Although I would question that and be like, are you sure? Are you just saying that because you have this thing about being on camera and looking at your face? If that is the thing and it's an ego voice, I challenge you to try video. But if you try it and it's really just this like inner thing, like it just doesn't sit well with you, hey, maybe YouTube isn't the right place for you. And that's all that means. The second thing, remember the goals. So the goals of having a tool, like it is a non-negotiable, I will say, for you, being an unstuck entrepreneur, that you have a tool because it builds know, like, trust. We're going to talk about that more in the Build Rapport masterclass next. So it builds know, like, trust. Like I said, it gets people from that point where they're like, who is this person, to like, I need to work with this person. It builds your email list. So there is an ulterior motive here, which, yes, providing all this valuable, free, awesome, highly encouraging content, but also to get them to a place where you have a little bit more control over the connection that you make, over the relationship that you build, which will be your email list. Again, we're talking about that in the next masterclass a lot more, and then position you as an authority. So again, letting that person know that you have their answer, that you can be their guide, their support system, and really help them get to their through their transformation. So what tool will best showcase your ability to do those three things? So think about that, and which all of them will do in just varying degrees. So just again, what feels good to you and what makes you feel like you can best do that. And then the last thing is you have to be able to be consistent You have to have the commitment and you have to have the confidence for it. So again, going back to that, what feels good for you? Can you do these three things? Can you be consistent? Can you have that commitment? Can you have that confidence with it? Because that's what it will take to have a successful tool. Regularly creating free content. This is something that some entrepreneurs push back on, and I will never understand why, but just in case you are having those kinds of thoughts and you're not really understanding why we would deliver free content all the time, let's talk about it, shall we? So when you put out free content on the regular, it makes it easy to find your dream client and build an engaged audience. It showcases your expertise, energy, and personality authentically. It invites your dream client to further engage with your work and creates an amazing first impression and lasting connection. Do I need to say more? Like, let's really think about all those things. And how else would we do those things in such a really highly impactful way than to put out free content? To let people into our world, to showcase our expertise and authority, to let people know what we do and how we do it and kind of the package that we come in, to allow our energy to go out into the world to attract our audience that way. It just, there is no other way to attract the right people into your work and to let them know what you do, how you help them, what your energy is like, that they're a good fit for you. We've got to put out some free content, my friends. So you are going to spend the majority of your time in your business working in this attract pillar, doing this regular free content. You will spend another big chunk of your time in the build pillar, which we're going to talk about in the next masterclass. Between those two, you're going to spend probably about 80% of your time. That is very, very important. And if ever you are wondering why your business is not going the way that you want, please get really real with yourself and get clear on if you're spending enough high quality time in the attract and build pillars. Get real with yourself, because I can almost guarantee you're not. So we are constantly in this attracting, building phase. And as you are, it will become effortless for people to get into your world. So with that comes creating free content. Now let's figure out which tool you want to use to deliver that free, valuable, amazing, wonderful, beautiful content to your amazing, beautiful, wonderful dream clients. The first one that we will talk about is in the voice category. I'm only going to go over four. There are a few more, but I think these are the four most common. So probably 95 to 97% of you are going to choose one of the four I'm going to talk about. And if you're the 2 to 3%, then we can chat further. So just let me know if you want to know some other ideas, but pick one of these. Just start here. So the goals of every blog post: showcase your authority on not only the subject of the blog, but on your overall theme of your entire website, of what you do. To keep people engaged on your website, this is super important. You don't want people to just happen upon this blog post, read it, and then leave and never think of you again, never, not even know what your name is or what you actually even do. What we want is the whole goal of that blog post: to get people on your website and to keep them there and to get them engaged in other areas of your website. Maybe have them read another blog post, or maybe have them go to your About Me page, or maybe have them go to a freebie that you have to offer, and then they get on your email list, or even go to your paid offers and see if you have any coaching or anything. We want people to stay on your website for more than just that blog post. So that's really the ultimate goal of having a blog, is to get people engaged with other areas of your work, not to just have them read the blog and leave. And then the other thing is to get visitors onto your email list. So like I said, they might have they might see a place where there's a freebie offer that they really want, because you're going to have amazing freebies, like high value, I should probably pay for this type freebies. And they will not be able to resist putting their name and highly coveted email address into that space to get the freebie. And then when they do, they get on your email list. So even if they don't remember your name or they never go back to your website, now you are still in control of building a really awesome connection with them and providing some really good communication with them because they are now on your email list. And so now we can really build rapport and really nurture that connection even deeper. So those are really the goals of having a blog. It's not just to write and get people on your website and then they leave. Tips for success, definitely use Pinterest to support your blog traffic. This is, if you're not familiar with Pinterest, it is actually a search engine and we can put in pins that will direct people right to our blog post, right to our website where they can engage with us further. So definitely consider using Pinterest. Please use the resources I provided in the course portal to familiarize yourself with Pinterest if you're not already. Create a business Pinterest account, spend some time, and just know that you are going to be spending some time doing, you know, creating pins and getting onto Pinterest every time you write a blog post. Also consider SEO. SEO is going to be important. Back in the day, before there were millions and billions and billions of blog posts, SEO really worked super well. And while it has changed and shifted a little bit because of the saturation, it's not impossible, but you do need to spend some time doing some research on the search engine optimization, which is what SEO stands for, and how you can really show up in a search for what your whole blog is about. And what it can really do is also guide you into what your blog post should be about, or at least what the title should say, if you're doing the right research. And again, I have some free resources for you on how to do your own SEO research in the course portal. So please make sure you go there and really do its due diligence for both SEO and Pinterest, that otherwise you're going to write a blog post and no one's going to read it. So we really do have to pay attention to these things. And then showcase your personality. So again, with the practitioner speak, we are professionals, we are experts, but we've got to really connect with the right person. And the connection point is by way of your personality and showcasing that and getting into the heart of the reader by using the words that they would use and by showcasing who you really are. So please consider that and make that a priority. Keep it readable, not only in how you're writing, but also in how it's laid out. So these days, because we read so much on our computer screens and even more so on our phones, it really helps to break things up with the appropriate amount of headers and keep your paragraphs short and sweet. So remember to really focus on the readability, or else you will not get people to stay interested in what you have to offer. Even if it's an amazing blog post and there's tons of information, if they can't read it, if it's not keeping their attention, they'll leave. Most people are going to skim. Keep that in mind too. And then highlight other posts and freebies. I'll show you how I do this on my website. But remember, the goal is to keep visitors there. So once they're done reading one blog post, can you link them to another? Can you point them to something else on your website, a freebie, another post, something like that? So I'll show you how this all works. So this was just, I want to show you first how Pinterest works. This was a blog post that I created, and this was like 3 days after I posted this on Pinterest. If you've never been on Pinterest, this is how a pin will look to anybody who's searching. It's just kind of like a graphic and then the title of the blog post, and then it links directly to your website so they can click on this and it will go directly to that specific post. So within a matter of a few days, this had gotten almost 11,000 impressions, which means 11,000 people had seen it, but 6 people saved it, which I thought which was really great. And even better, 31 people had clicked on that link. And this is cold traffic. They don't know me. I don't know them. People that had just searched something where this came up, clicked on to get to my website and had read the post. And so this is the power of Pinterest when used correctly. So it is very beneficial for you if you want to have a blog as your tool to get to know the ins and outs of Pinterest and use it to your advantage. And then because, so this was at the end of that blog post, and this is how I set up every single blog post on my website. At the end of that blog post, I had three different options they could do. Ready for more? You can listen to the podcast episode that's essentially the same thing as the blog post, but obviously in my voice versus my writing. You can take the vibe quiz, which is a freebie that gets them on my email list, or you can do the autopilot challenge, which again is another freebie that also gets them on my email list. So they could either start listening to the podcast and become a subscriber to the podcast, or they could get on my email list, or both. Or at minimum, you can see down here, I have three other potential blog posts that they would be interested in reading because they were interested in that blog post. So at minimum, I can get them into more of my work. And of course, these have other opportunities to listen to podcast episodes, get on freebies, that kind of thing. So as you can see, I'm doing everything. I'm setting myself up so that those 31 people in those 3 days that came to my website, they don't know me, don't know anything about me. Not only are they reading the blog I created, but there's a good chance they're taking other action here too and getting into my world. And that is really cool. So you can see the power and how much more there is to blogging than just writing a blog and hoping Google does something for you. There's a lot more to it, a lot more strategy, but it can be very, very, very effective. Quickly going through the blogging pros and cons, every tool that we're going to talk about today, for the most part, has a long shelf life. So you write a blog, some of my most popular blogs today on my website that I get lots of traffic from coming to my website, I wrote in like 2017, 2016, a long, long time ago, but they were so specific and they're still, you know, showing up on a Google search high up there. So people are still finding them that are very cold traffic, which is really cool. And that will be the case for your blogs too. Low barrier to entry and startup costs. Pretty much you just need a website that has a blog capability, which I think almost all of them do now. So that's really cool. And then you can just start writing, start creating blogs. And having a business Pinterest account doesn't cost anything. Doing search engine optimization research doesn't cost anything. Very low cost of entry. Little time commitment can be done on your schedule. At first, it's probably going to take some time to do the research, to figure out the Pinterest thing, to write it all, to get it all formatted, all that stuff. But the more you do it, the easier it'll go. And then, you know, a few weeks, a few months down the road, you're doing a whole blog post in an hour or two, and it's going to last forever. It's going to be on your website forever. And you can have those hours or two be like at night or on the weekend or on vacation or whatever. Please don't work on vacation, but you know what I mean? While traveling. And so it can be done on your schedule. It gets traffic to your website where they can dive into more of your work. So what better? I mean, like all of our stuff hopefully is on our website. Our paid offers are on our website. Our freebies are on our website. So getting someone to go directly to your website is a really great way for them to gauge in other areas of your work. And it can be a potential income stream if you want to use something like AdSense or something where there's little ads that pop up on your blog. Up to you if that's something that you really want to do. It's a turnoff for some people, of course, but if you're getting enough traffic to your blog, it may be worth it or something to consider. Cons, extremely saturated market. What isn't these days? So I don't think that's something that should deter you by any means, but it will require you to do more digging to make sure you are writing on the right topics. You're getting some search engine stuff going. So please do the research there. And you must have good SEO to get traffic to your website. It's just, you got to do it. So make that a priority for yourself if you're going to do a blog. I would say this is kind of, I think, the biggest con for me is that you will not have as strong of a connection with your audience simply because these days there's so much video, there's so much audio, so many podcasts. We're so used to connecting with people in that way that then when we just have words, It's not impossible, but it just takes a little longer to really get the vibe of that person, the personality, and really let them into our worlds. Whereas, you know, people listen to podcasts when they're like giving their baby a bath or on a hike or working out or cooking dinner or something like that. And we have that, like, they are literally putting us in their earbuds throughout their lives, which is really cool. And we'll talk about that when we talk about podcasting. That's kind of the one big difference I see, is it would potentially take a little longer to build that relationship. Getting people on your email list will help with that, but could take a little longer. Not something, again, to deter you. You need to be comfortable with websites and technology, and if not, get comfortable with it, because otherwise it's going to take you forever and you won't have good functionality. There won't be a good user experience for those people that are coming to your website, all that kind of stuff that we need to consider. And it can be a little harder to promote paid offers because, as we'll talk about as a pro in YouTube and with a podcast, is you just can, you have the platform, you have the ability to talk about your paid offers. When you do have a launch, there's something going on, there's something exciting for them to consider that's paid, you have the ability to talk about it. It's a little harder to do that on a blog, not impossible, but may take a little bit more strategy on your part to promote your paid offers and to get people in the door to that. And if you want to start a blog, I have a quick start guide for you that you can find in your course portal. Let's move on to podcasting. I think probably a lot of you know I'm a huge fan of podcasting. I've had 3 podcasts, who knows how many millions of downloads these days, which I'm so grateful for. It's just so cool to think about. And I love it. It's been like 7 years now as of the time of this recording. So I am very partial to podcasting, but I'm not going to try to sway you in this way at all because I know it's not for everybody. But I will tell you what you can do with it. The goals of your podcast, and specifically every podcast episode, are going to be, again, showcase your authority on the subject, not just of the episode topic, but of the overall subject of your entire podcast, overall goal of your entire podcast. Get people to keep listening and subscribe. So again, we don't want them to just listen to one episode and then never come back, not even remember your name, not even keep getting the reminders about your podcast. We want them to keep listening. We want them to find us for one podcast episode and then scroll back and see all the other ones we've done and listen from the beginning or pick out specific ones they want to listen to and really build that relationship with us and with our podcast. And of course, get them to subscribe so that they automatically get those new reminders when new episodes come out, which is really, really important. And of course, get listeners on your email list. Again, so this is any tool, is the end result, the end goal is to get people deeper into your work where you have a little bit more control, a little bit more power. And I use control and it feels like a almost bad word to use. And I don't mean it that way, but it's something that we have to consider to have more of the dynamic, the upper hand and the relationship a little bit, which is what email lists will do. Because even if someone subscribes to your podcast, I mean, they can subscribe and delete, or just like decide to stop listening to podcasts and never look at the podcast app again. And then you've lost that relationship. Whereas if they're on your email list, then you still can reach out to them. I don't think anybody is going to stop reading their emails anytime soon. I think we're safe there. So you have a little bit more power there. Tips for success. Encourage listeners to share episodes. This is going to be the biggest way, at least I have found, to grow your listenership is to get the people that are already listening, the people that are you've already connected with and created that relationship with, to share it with other people that they think would be a good fit, because they're automatically going to share it with your dream clients. Because, you know, they're not going to share if it's something for menopausal women, a whole podcast about menopause, they're not going to share it with like their husband. They're going to share it with people that are going through menopause. So they're automatically creating that connection for you. They're really doing your marketing for you. Sorry, I have a hair. It's tickling me. And so really use that to your advantage call it out. Make that request during your episodes, at the end of your episodes, even in your show notes to share it with others who they think would be a good fit. Such a good way to get people, new people in the door, and you kind of using your listeners to help you do that. Consider SEO. Podcast platforms are search engines. So people go into podcast platforms and search like menopause, and they will get episodes and podcasts and hosts that talk about menopause. So think about that, not only when you're titling your episodes, but also when you're titling your entire podcast. What's the title of your podcast, and will it be catchy to that particular dream client? Will they immediately light up when they see the name of that podcast? The name is extremely searchable. And so we want so badly to be catchy and clever and cute with the title of our podcast, but in reality, we need it to be searchable over anything else. So when I had a podcast called The Keto for Women Show, it exploded because people were literally entering in to the search box, keto for women, and they still do to this day. So it was very easy to keep that listenership building because I had created something that was so searchable. So please keep that in mind over being catchy, clever, and cute. Invest in good quality audio. These days, there are so many people with amazingly highly produced podcasts that we want to be in that category. We don't want people to not listen and to go somewhere else simply because our audio sucks. And that will happen. You can control that. You can invest in some good quality audio. It's a small investment with a high return. So please make sure to do so. I've linked several different mics that I've used over the years that I have found to be really good quality at different price points. So find what works for you, but make sure you get some good quality audio. Keep it authentic and conversational. Again, lots of podcasts out there. People want to, and I was actually just talking to my partner about this today, like some of the podcasts that we absolutely love, we've been listening for so long that it feels like they're friends. When something happens to them, good or bad, like we feel that in our bodies as if they're our friends telling us. And can you do the same while also providing amazing, good educational content? But can you do so in a way that feels really authentic, feels really friendly, and really keeps that connection and that communication going? Have great guests and be a guest on other shows. That's how you will build an audience. Also, don't just have anybody that comes to you that wants to be on a podcast and promote themselves. Really make sure you have a good, strong connection with that person, because that's going to lend itself to a good conversation and your listeners will recognize that. So do your research. Don't just say yes to everybody and make a little bit of a barrier to entry to have guests on your show and get really great guests that you know will provide a ton of valuable content for your audience. And then yes, being a guest on other shows is also really beneficial to promote your own show, not in a weird sleazy way, like I'm just going to use your show to promote my show, but people will get to know you and what you provide and the value that you have and what you talk about. And we'll want to learn more from you over on your show. And then lastly, stay consistent for the long haul. Like all of the tools we're going to talk about, this is a long game. In general, building your business is a long game. So please know that it is one of these things that has a snowball effect and will grow, but it's slow growth. Most of the time. Yes, there are outliers that have this amazing success right away, but for most people, it's a slow build. You are reminding your listeners to tell their friends if they know someone else that it would be a good fit for the show. And then that person tells five of their coworkers. And then those five coworkers tell three of their family members. And it builds, but it's a slow build. And so please be consistent. Give it honestly at least a year before you make any decisions on if it's successful or not, if it's something you want to keep doing or not. Give it at least a year. And don't forget to share that you have a podcast everywhere all the time. Okay? Quickly, pros and cons, very little startup cost and barrier to entry. Again, get that mic. make sure you have a computer and a way to record yourself. And you'll need probably to pay a little bit, a nominal fee, though there are some free ones, but I do encourage you to pay a little bit of money for a good quality platform that will share it over all of the other platforms. So you'll need to use something like Libsyn or Podbean or something like that to host it for you. Very little barrier to entry and cost of entry. It's a great way to build a loyal following and build know, like, and trust. That's what KLT stands for, know, like, and trust. We're going to talk about that more in the next masterclass. But it is a great way to really build, like I was just talking about, feeling like you're building such a strong connection with these people that you don't actually even know. They're out there listening. You don't know them, but they feel like they know you. They feel like you're friends, and they would definitely want to work with you in this paid capacity too. So it's just an excellent way to do that. You have control over your content, so you can decide what you want to talk about it in each episode, how you want to talk about it, how long you want it to be, what tips you want to give. You have complete control, which is so, so fun. You can talk about anything. Although I would recommend you keep it in the realm of your overall dream client and what they would want to hear about, of course. Worldwide access, anybody can listen to your podcast, which means your business can easily go worldwide, which is super cool. It's a potential income stream, may not be at the beginning, but you can have sponsors, have ad spots in your podcast episodes. And this would be something where it does require a specific level, so a specific amount of listeners and subscribers for each episode before you can really pitch this. So just know that and keep that in mind. I honestly don't think it's really something that you should consider for at least the first 3 to 6 months. Just get your bearings, get the ball rolling, see what comes up, see what your numbers are, see how it's growing, because those are going to be things that people, the brands that you want to work with will need to know in order to know what to pay you. So please keep that in mind, that it will be potential after the fact. But also from the get-go, if you think of it this way, is that you, again, have control over your content. You, again, can self-promote. So in a roundabout way, it is an income producer because it is the way for people to know about your paid offers in many cases. So again, record anytime, anywhere. My mic has been all over the world with me. I've recorded episodes of podcasts all over the world. So that's a really cool thing. It's a very travelable tool, which is nice. And you, again, do have the ability to self-promote. You can talk about your paid offers, your launches, what you've got going on, and have people get interested in those right from your podcast. It is a saturated market as a con. I don't think this, again, is something to stop you, but just know that it's saturated. So again, we have to have really good audio. We have to really make sure that we're doing something that's unique, that makes us stand out, and that gives us a little bit of an edge. Your energy, just you being you, is automatically going to do that. But even more so, if you really showcase your personality, really be authentic, really share your story, get some good guests on, that kind of thing. It can be time consuming, especially at the beginning. If you are doing everything, if you're recording, if you're editing, if you're putting it up on the platform, all that stuff, it can feel like a lot. Trust me, it gets a lot easier as you go. In a matter of weeks, you will shave hours and hours off of your time to produce a podcast. So at the start, it's going to be a little time consuming. It does get a lot better, but you do want to make sure that you spend the time. It's just highly, highly valuable time to make sure you're putting out good content. It won't generate revenue right away, like I said, unless from the start you can talk about your paid offerings. Absolutely. So that kind of in a roundabout way, we'll be producing income, but it will take some time to get those numbers and to get your audience built up enough to where you are at a place to have sponsors. And you do need to promote regularly to gain an audience. It's not one of those things where you just have a podcast, you never talk about it, you put it out into the world, onto Apple and onto Spotify and all these places, and you just assume people are going to find you and you're going to have this amazing influx of listeners. Exceptions, of course, to that. But the rule is you are going to have to do the work to promote the podcast to get a regular audience. Okay. So we want to share it on our social media. We want to share it in our newsletters. We want to share it to our friends and family, do word of mouth. We want to have our friends share it also to anyone that they think would be good for it. Talk about it, talk about it, talk about it, talk about it a lot. Okay. It's like your main thing. If you would like to start a podcast, I have a quick start guide for you in the course portal. Okay, moving on to tool number three, which is video. And by video, I will get more specific and say YouTube. YouTube is, as I think many of us are aware, but just in case you don't know, it's the main video platform where tons of people just have this really great community built based on what they put out in their video. It is a search engine. We're going to talk about that in a second. So something to consider really, and it also is a Google subsidiary. So it is a huge place where we can get a ton of exposure to a cold audience, which is something that we really need to consider. The goals of your videos should be to showcase your authority again, get people to keep watching and subscribe. Same thing with the podcast. We don't want people to just watch this half of this one video and leave and not know our names or anything about us or anything about what we do, but get people engaged, get people to subscribe so they get notifications when there's a new episode that we put out, and get them to keep watching the rest of our channel, what else we have out there. And always to get listeners onto your email list so that you have the upper hand in the relationship and can continue to build rapport with them. So get listeners onto your email list by way of the description. Right in the description of every video, you have the ability to write to in there a clickable link so they can just click and get the freebie. We'll talk about freebies next time. Don't worry. Tips for success. Stick with it. Same thing as the rest of them. Stick with it. It can take a while, but it will be worth it. There is a solid chance that you record a video and put it out this week, for example, and three people watch it. It's like your mom, your best friend, and your sister watch it. And then nothing happens. And then a year or 6 months or 3 months down the road, it blows up. You just don't know. And that's kind of the fun thing in a way about YouTube is things that you've done years ago gain traction and get you clients and get you new followers and these new things coming to you. And really, it's the same thing with podcasting and the same thing as blogging. What you are doing now and the work you're putting in now for any of these tools will live on for the long haul, and you will get followers on your Instagram or subscribers to your email list or people on your website, people wanting to be a part of your paid offers that found you from something you created years ago. And that is really cool. So the staying power is huge. And the same thing goes for YouTube. So please don't give up too soon, just because things haven't taken off. It takes time. Snowball effect. YouTube is a search engine. What is your dream client searching for? Make sure that the videos that you create are things that people want to hear about. Otherwise, no one's going to watch it because no one cares. So you can do some research even within Google to see, or YouTube, to see what people are searching for, and can you create a video around that? Do a little bit of research before you just go off and decide to create a video about this specific thing. It's kind of very similar to what we would do with a blog and doing that research first. Stay relaxed and engaging on camera, which at the beginning may seem impossible if you are not used to being on camera, but it will get so much better with practice. Just keep trying, keep showing up, keep practicing, and you will see that you start getting your video legs and it becomes actually really fun. And you can stay relaxed and engaged while on camera because that is what people connect with. Again, they can feel your energy through the screen. And we want that energy to be one that is relaxed, that is confident, that is the expert, and that is what will keep them attracted to you. Good lighting is key. So do a little bit of research on what would be good lighting for you. Be in front of some natural light if you can. So find that good window in your house and just put your whole YouTube setup there and really focus on keeping that lighting top of mind. If you're too dark, people are going to find someone else. We need to be visually attracted to your work too. share the goal of the video right away, because otherwise people are going to click out if they don't know what they're going to get out of that video. So if it's a 10-minute video and they have to wait till minute 8 before they get anything out of it, it's not going to happen. So share what they are going to learn and how it's going to be helpful to them at the very beginning, so that they do have the patience to wait until minute 8 before you actually get there. So give them a little bit of a guide at the beginning. And then lastly, direct viewers to your freebie link. You've got to do it every single time. Get them on your email list. Share the freebie in your description. Get them to click that link when they're done with the video. Okay? Pros and cons. Strong connection with your audience. Video is so big in the business space, probably for the long haul. And so because everyone's used to seeing video, we are used to having that sort of built-in connection with your audience. So please think about that and know how beneficial that is to your business and how important it is to your business. It has a long shelf life, just like the rest of them. We've already talked about that. Highly searchable. Again, YouTube is a search engine. Use that to your advantage and make sure that you are giving the answer to something that you know your dream client is searching for. Worldwide access. So your business can quickly become worldwide, which is so cool. You could have clients in all different areas of the world, which I just think is the coolest. Potential income stream. Once you hit, I believe it's 1,000 subscribers on YouTube, you can have some sort of paid advertisements going on before your video, in your video, that kind of thing, and make a little bit of income, side income on that. Simple, inexpensive startup. Again, you need good lighting. So you may need to invest in that if you can't find a good window. You do not need a professional camera to get started. Most likely, all of our phones these days provide good enough video to get started with that. So it's inexpensive. You can start making videos today. And then as you go, you can add on. And you can self-promote. One of those things we talked about in podcasting, again, you have the ability to decide whatever the content is. So you can spend the last few minutes talking about your paid offers, talking about how you can help those people, talking about a launch you have coming up, getting them excited for it, which is really cool. The cons, it does take time to build traction. Snowball effect, you're in it for the long haul. Please don't give up. You may need to invest in gear as you grow. So as this does become something you really love to do and you are seeing some traction, you will want to invest in gear as you grow. So maybe you do have a better lighting setup. Maybe you do get a professional camera, or maybe you do hire an editor to help you. Maybe you do have some B-roll or something you're editing in to make it a little bit more engaging of a video. These will be things that you add as you grow. And it can be time consuming. Same thing with podcasting at the beginning. You're not going to have any idea what you're doing. You're going to mess up a bunch of times. You're not going to know how to edit it. It's going to feel like it's taking forever. And that's okay. That's to be expected and is still time well spent. So please know that. And it will get so much easier as you continue on. And again, you do need to feel comfortable on camera. It may not feel like you are. You may be just totally poo-pooing this because you do not want to be on camera, but you've never tried. So at least try. And if it still doesn't feel right and you just can't get down with camera, that's totally fine. But then it's coming from here and not from here. Whereas here is telling you, you're not good on camera. You don't look good on camera. You don't want people judging you in that way. All these ego stories. Okay. And if you want to start YouTube, I have a quick start for you in the course portal. The last one we're going to talk about quickly today are live events. And I really wanted to keep this in here because live events are super popular these days, and they are really great tools for you to use to build your email list quickly and to build also a connection with people very quickly too. So this may be something you want to consider adding in your business as your tool. So when I say live events, they can be in person. If you do want more of an in-person local business, if you don't want to go full worldwide online, then this would be a great place to start by doing in-person events in your area, or they can be virtual. But either way, they're going to be live. You can do recorded workshops as well. I just think for this purpose, for your tool, I'd like to keep it live because I think it does bring in a bigger audience and a higher quality audience. So can be virtual, can be in person, both are live. So goals of the event is to showcase your authority on the subject, always build immediate connection and rapport. This is something that is harder to get on any other tool. This is just so easy to do, is to build that immediate connection because they are live with you. They can see your face. They might be in the same room with you. If not, it feels like you're in the same room because at this point, we're all so used to using Zoom and doing virtual conferences and meetings and things that we get it. And so now we have that ability to create this immediate connection. Get attendees on your email list, always, 100%. If it is a virtual event, they have to sign up for your email list in order to get the information for the event. So every single person automatically goes on your list, and that's how they get the link to join your event. The tips for success: partner up with others to increase your audience size. So you can partner up with someone else that's kind of in the same field, would have a similar audience. They're definitely would be some crossover to where your dream clients are in their audience and their dream clients are in your audience. So it's a good mix of the two, and it will increase both of your audience sizes. It will get new people on your list and will get you in front of new people and them in front of new people. So you can kind of share that experience, which is a really cool thing to do. And obviously the audience is going to get so much value out of having the partner, you doing it with a partner. So it's something to consider, and just have a friend or coworker or someone, you can do it as a group. Collect emails of attendees and offer a special gift for attending live. Absolutely. Again, like I said, if it's virtual, they have to provide their email in order to get the information for the event. If it's in person, then you're going to want some way to collect their email, either like a table at the front or passing around something while they're there at their seats to where they can put in their email address, something. So make sure you are figuring out some way to collect their email address. And then the people that are there live, I think it's really cool just to provide a special gift. That can be something, it's kind of one of those things where it will excite them to give their email address because they know they're getting a gift in return. So especially for those live events, in-person events, it will give them a little push to provide their email address so they can get the special gift that will come via email after. Get creative with your topic. We do have so many live events out there these days. We can attend one every hour of every day, probably, if we wanted to. So get creative with your topic so that your people want to come and they want to be there live and they're excited for what you're going to share. So you have complete control over what you provide and what you do and that topic. So use it and get creative. And have fun with it. It's a really fun time to be able to be in a group live with people that are your dream clients. So use that to your advantage and just have fun and be connecting with them for sure. Repurposing content is key. So it can seem overwhelming when you're like, just so you know, let me make this clear right now. We want to choose one of these. You do not have to do all of these. And I would actually encourage you to only pick one right now. Down the road, yes, you can build on it. You can have more tools as you become more efficient with them. But right now, just pick one and then we'll move on. But it can still seem overwhelming if you're feeling like every week I have to do a podcast and then I have to share on Instagram and then I have to write something in my email newsletter. And my gosh, I just have so much to do. I'm not doing anything else but creating content, I feel like, all the time. Repurpose. One piece of content is going to keep working for you over and over again. So if you have a podcast or YouTube or you do a workshop, it can all go into a blog post. It doesn't have to, but it could all, any of that content could become a blog post. And then that blog post, you would write about it in your newsletter, maybe give a snippet of that blog post and then have them click over to read the rest of the blog post. Or if you want to bypass the blog altogether, you can still in your newsletter, write about the podcast episode you just recorded and put out, write about the video you just created, write about the workshop you just did and have them watch the video, listen to the podcast, that kind of thing. So you're writing about the content you're creating elsewhere in your newsletter. And you're writing about the content you created elsewhere in your blog post too, potentially. As you can see, that was an example I gave you. I wrote a blog post based on a podcast episode I recorded. And then that is also social media. You're one of at least one of the posts that you share on social media is about your podcast episode, is about the video you created, is about the workshop you're doing or you did, is about the blog post you wrote. So then you are using that also, and it can be multiple. You can pull out several different quotes or something or ideas or topics from the podcast or from the blog post or whatever, and share those as posts on your social media. So we have to repurpose content strategically or else you will go crazy. Yes, it's true. All right. I want to give you just a few content ideas to wrap up here, because I think probably one of the biggest barriers that I see to people putting out content is not knowing or not feeling like they would have anything to say, feeling like they would run out of ideas. And it's just not the case. I can promise you that. But to help you along, I'll give you four questions to ask yourself anytime you feel like you're getting stuck with what to say. What's a mistake your dream client is making? Your dream client is making a lot of mistakes on their path to try to get to their solution. You calling out that mistake lets them know, hey, I'm making a mistake. Hey, they understand me. They get that I'm making a mistake. Hey, they actually also know my solution. So really important to point those out. So identify the mistakes, the struggles, the problems, the beliefs, and how can you shift them out of it? Just give them one or two or three quick things, quick tips that they can do to start shifting out of that. But think about that list: mistakes, struggles, problems, beliefs. Right there is like a year's worth of content. They're doing a lot of those things. And we are going to spend a lot more time on this in the invite pillar. So, and in the invite masterclass. So this is coming, and what we do in there is really going to help you get the content that you need. But this is a starting point for you right now. What changes can your dream client make in their day? So go through a typical day of your dream client and the routines that they're doing, and what simple swaps could they make to get them in the right direction, to have them start feeling better, those kinds of things. What's your story? People love your story. They want to hear your story over and over again. So what have you been through? What are you going through that your dream client can resonate with and would really impact their lives? And what did you learn from that experience? What are you learning? What are you trying? What are you doing? People want to hear that. And then what inspires your dream client? How can you encourage or motivate them? Just simple things that you know they just need to hear, that they need to hear right now, because you know what they're going through and you've been through it, or you've had clients go through it. You understand them, and here's what you can do to motivate or encourage them. So with content ideas, I do recommend you make a big list. It will help with your confidence that you can actually do that tool. So if you have a year's worth of possible content you could put on a blog, put on a YouTube channel, put on a podcast, then you know you're covered and you feel super confident with that. You may never even use some of those ideas, but it will get that boost that you need to get going with it. So please take the time to create a list for your tool and then move into actually doing that tool and putting that content out there. A quick note about social media. We're going to talk about it more in the next masterclass, but a lot of you are assuming that social media is a tool and you can choose that over doing any of these other ones I just talked about. And that is not the case. You need to build a business that can and will thrive without social media. Now, social media can be a great business marketing tool in addition to the other things that you are doing, in addition to your podcast, in addition to your YouTube channel, in addition to your blog, in addition to your workshops. But social media alone is not an option, my friends. Not here. It's not what we're doing here. It's not the type of business that we are building. We are building a sustainable, impactful business that we have the power in. Something to remember when you are on social media and creating content for social media, which is important, and I'm not telling you not to do that. We're going to talk about this more. I still love Instagram. I still spend time creating for Instagram, but I also have a business that if Instagram were gone tomorrow, I'd be fine. because I intentionally set it up that way. So anything and everything you post on social media instantly becomes not yours. You instantly lose all control over it. You have no control over who sees it, how many people see it, who engages with it, what kind of people see it. The algorithm controls that. And there's nothing wrong with having an algorithm. I see so many entrepreneurs like hating on the algorithm, but that's all coming from a place of lack. And we don't need to worry about that. The algorithm is what it is. And social media is a free marketing tool. So we don't have any right or any need to complain about it or to worry about it. But I don't want you, being who you are and with the passion and purpose that you have, to let that get lost in the shuffle of the algorithm. Okay? Your business and its success has nothing to do with the algorithm. So use your message, share your message, be passionate, be purposeful, have your values and vision at the forefront, lead with your intentions, and do that elsewhere. And then bring it back to social media to also enhance that experience for others. So using this beautiful, very delicious looking sundae, your podcast, your YouTube channel, your blog, your workshops, your email list even, are the ice cream, the sprinkles, the nuts, and the whipped cream. And that would already be this amazing, amazing sundae that would be so delightful. But then we'll just add the cherry on top, which is Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, whatever social media platform you prefer. Okay. So we're not going to rely on social media to build our business. We need to think of it because we don't know any better. This could happen where one day we wake up and Instagram is gone. TikTok's gone. Twitter's no longer a thing. And then what? So we have to build our business outside of that. And then that cherry on top, let's use it while it's here. Let's have fun with it while it's here. Let's build a community while it's here and get them into our other work. Get them over to our podcast. Get them on our email list. Get them watching our YouTube videos. So social media is a great way for your audience to get to know you, like you, and trust you better, but it is not the only way. Okay. So we will definitely talk about social media more coming up. Definitely build a social media platform. Definitely spend quality time there. Absolutely. With boundaries, all the boundaries in place. But don't feel like you have to have a certain number of followers. Don't feel like you have to show up a certain amount of times. Don't feel like you have to spend a certain amount of hours there to have a successful and profitable business, because that is not the case. Okay, so that will do it for this Attract Masterclass. Please spend some time really considering where you want to show up for your business, for yourself, for your clients, and work out that tool. Get started brainstorming, get started with the planning process, get started getting it together. And next masterclass, we're going to talk about building rapport with your dream clients, which means email. It's all about the email. Don't give me pushback. It's for a good reason. I promise I will share that in the next masterclass. We'll see you there. Hey friend, real quick before you go, don't forget to head over to my website and take the quiz to find out your solopreneur personality type. I've created a super fun, super informative 2-minute quiz that will show you which one of the 4 solopreneur personality types you fall into. Could it be the boss, the socialite, the visionary, or the supporter? Which one are you? Not only is it just fun to know more about yourself, especially as it relates to your business, but it's also really important information so you can be sure that you're building a business that works for you based on your energy, your personality, and your desires. Did you ever take those quizzes from the Cosmopolitan magazine back in the day? It's kind of like that, but with actual solid questions and real helpful tips and advice at the end. You can find the What's Your Solopreneur Personality Type quiz right on the homepage of my website at seanminer.com. Head there now to take the quiz, then let me know over on Instagram at UnstuckEntrepreneur what your type is. I'll see you over there.